All right.
Hey.
It's just us two? Oh,
Now,
man.
I think La Spooky is coming soon. What have you been doing?
I have been I've been getting some job interview requests. That's been making me happy. I got an interview with Daily Beast, social media stuff. Daily Beast and gosh, I can't think of who else. Oh, so like CNET, you know about CNET, right? They got bought by some company and they need somebody to like do some project stuff. Just like backing cleanup textual stuff. But I got a call the other day from Univision, Univision, as they say. Actually, I gotta see if they got back to me. So like you know, people always say like, is it worth it to go to grad school? And I've always been kind of like on the fence about it, because I've been like, yo, grad school is a lot of money, and definitely doesn't guarantee you're gonna have a job, even if you go to like top grad school. And so this is one of those times when it's actually I think it was worth it. So Univision hit me up out of nowhere, and they're like, yeah, you know, somebody that we know like recommended you, and that's like, you know, we take that very seriously. And it's just I won't say any names just in case I don't get it, but this person is a well-known podcaster in Latin America, and she just like floated my name out there, like, yeah, this guy's in Houston. Anyway, so Univision is looking for people in different cities. I guess they're like revamping one of their programs or something like that, so they need people to just be like videographers. And so yeah, and what I'm learning is in journalism, when you can't find a bunch of outlets to write for, you gotta figure out the other angles. And it's always like some word of mouth shit, like, you know, something as simple as setting up a camera for an interview, right? Like pays enough to fucking pay your bills, man. Like one or two of those a week, you're good. So anyway, how about you? How you doing? So I might get that. How you doing? I see you're I was looking at your writing in Crooked Marquee and some other ones. And I was like, that's how you got to do it, man, to really make a living as a freelancer. You got to have like super regular ones. How many places would you say you hit in a week with your words?
I don't really keep track of that. I just do it, and I just see what happens. But we got let's put, we got our guest on the line here. Are you
All
there?
right. Got La Spooky on the line. Hola, hola.
And she's got the mask on and everything. So,
Yes. All right, La Spooky joining us
all right.
hey.
Well,
From the car and everything. Did we
let me first start off by saying this is the continuing adventures of Krizzle and Camilo, aka Wibwop Galore, aka and I'm Craig Lindsay, as always. Joining me is Camilo Smith, and I have to throw that out there. Like, comment, and subscribe if you're listening wherever the hell, I don't know. You listen to this, but today is this week is Camilo's week to bring a guest. So, why don't you do the intro on who we have today?
Hey, we got from Houston. We have La Spooky, LA. Is it La Spooky or LA Spooky? I never quite
Yes,
know, but
La Spooky,
La
La.
Spooky. All right, a rising Lucha Libre star locally, and I don't know much about her. I've seen her work a few times, but I don't know much about her. So,
The
welcome,
mystery
welcome,
keeps them
welcome to the
coming.
show.
The mystery keeps them coming.
Okay, yeah, no, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Tell us so tell us how do you say your name, and what's the origins of your name?
La Spooky and my origins, it's basically I wanted something that was Chicana. You can't get more Chicana than that.
Yeah, spooky, like that's like old gangster name. Yeah, is there a movie that has spooky in it? I'm trying to think. La Vida Loca, something like that.
I believe similar to it, because a lot of them are like the Joker, El Payaso.
Yeah, true. So So you're from Houston, right? Like you were born and raised here.
Yes.
And what would you say got you? Because what you do Lucha Libre, right? You do Lucha Libre, which is how do you explain the difference between that and just regular wrestling? Because there's a lot of wrestling in Houston, a lot of different little groups. But how is the Lucha Libre specific? How is that different?
So like lucha libre is more like high flying, more tricks, where like wrestling is like basic chaining, one-on-ones. But like for lucha is like, oh man, what next, what move are they gonna do next? Like what high flying move? Like are they gonna jump from the rope? Like, and it is what builds the suspense.
And so it's different than what are like some, I don't know what you call them, standard wrestling or American style wrestling. What are some of those promotions that go on in Houston that you know about?
So like for American, I do know All Star. They run once a month or twice a month. Sometimes they're in Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, depending on their promotion. I know about PWF, OTOB. There's actually a lot. There's local wrestling, and then the one I come out of is Coliseo Houston.
Right. That's cool. Hey, Craig, have you ever seen a Lucha Libre match?
I'm sure I have, but just well, I guess the obvious question is what can you tell me the origin story? Just what made you get into the whole wrestling thing with the Lucha Libre, and just was it something that just wanted to see where it came from?
Where I first started, because growing up, I would always watch Consejo Mundial Triple A with my dad, and then one day we went to the Armadillo and All Star actually had a show there, and it kind of caught my eye. I was like, you know what? I've always seen it on TV. It's my first time experiencing it with locals. I was like, it was interesting. And then 10 years later, I've been a fan, and I actually complete my next month, I will complete 1 full year as a professional.
Wow, it's been only a year. That's
Yeah.
dope. That's dope. And who got you into it? Black Star?
I first, mine would be through All Star. It's American based, and it was Estrella Galactica, Jesse Logan, Thunder Jet, Inferno Tiger, Aiden Cristiano, Mysterious Q. Like that was where I kind of like, it's a love and it's a passion. I was like, from seeing it from like Triple A Consejo, like seeing it in person and like interacting, I was like, that was something different for me. And then that's when they introduced me to like, oh, well, we're doing a show. It's a lucha show. Maybe you'll like it. And then that's where I met Black Star.
Yeah, no, Black Star is a big promoter. I've been following him for a while. He's doing something I think is different out here, because I mean, if you grew up out here, did you know of regular Lucha Libre events that were going on in
No,
Houston?
like I didn't know about it until like 2 or 3 years after I was introduced to American wrestling.
Was it harder to find those Lucha Nights? Because I feel like
It
it's
was,
really easy.
they were harder because not a lot of people wanted it. And like a lot of big names that come from Mexico, they do charge a lot.
Right, yeah, because they're charging like $45, $50 sometimes. What do you mean by a lot of people didn't want it? I mean, because I feel like there's always been a lot of Mexicanos and Latinos and everything in Houston.
Promotion wise, like it was mainly promotions trying to figure out which ones to bring and who would get a better crowd, who would get a better reaction. Like there would be some shows that would do really good considering the names, and then some would be like they would do good but not as good as they would with other people.
How do you mean, like location wise or just the venue?
Yeah, like some people, like me, I drive far. Like I've gone to San Antonio, I've gone to Dallas to support them. But some people wouldn't want to drive 2.5 hours away to see a show. And I was like, that's gas, that's a lot of money.
And so you think the low it's created more of a local market because there's Lucha Libre going on everywhere in Texas, especially.
Yeah,
I mean, what,
there's
El
a lot.
Paso and like, what are
There's
some
a lot more.
cities? It's a lot more, right?
Yeah.
So there's no reason why, I'm sorry, I'm like been thinking about this forever. You know,
You're fine.
what's the reason for it to be expanding right now though? Like, what do you think is different now?
I think right now a lot of people, like for example AEW, they have a lot of lucha, like the ones that were always with Triple A. You have Pentagon, you have Phoenix, you have, who else do you have? You have El Hijo de Vikingo, you have Taurus, you have Hades. Like they were local here. Like I remember 4 or 5 years ago, I was at shows where it was Taurus, Laredo, and now they have a name. Like now they're with like now they're these really big people. And I
And when you
think
talk about AEW, just for people who don't know about wrestling, AEW, that's like the newer league, right? Of like kind of major broadcast
yeah, it's like
wrestling.
WWE.
It, say again?
It's like next to
Yeah,
WWE.
yeah. It's like, was it American Elite Wrestling or something like that? Or?
All American, all elite.
Okay, All Elite Wrestling. Yeah, because they've come out here to Houston to do stuff. So you're saying that they're starting to embrace more
Like they're,
Lucha
yeah,
Libre, Lucha style.
like now that they're kind of putting a little bit more attention to like lucha, like you have Hijo de Vikingo who just did it with Kenny Omega, who did a lot of tricks. And it's like now people are more interested of like, you know, there's a little bit more lucha involved. Like, and it kind of builds like suspense and it kind of like, oh man, like what can he do next? Like a lot of people are known for tricks.
Right. Yeah. No. I just want to push a little bit more on this because I'm still trying to figure out. So, if those audiences are seeing more Lucha Libre, I feel like those are like more like, your white audiences who are just into wrestling. But I feel like when you get to like Latinos and Hispanics, that are you saying that seeing that on like AEW and maybe WWE, seeing more Lucha is making them go out to shows, or because I see those. The crowd a lot of those shows are mostly like what, like 90% Latinos? Like basically like everybody there is like, super connected, maybe just came over here, within the past 10 years. Or you know what I'm saying? The like what's your connection to are you Mexican?
I'm Chicana. I am have my dad Mexican 100%, and then my mom's white. Well, she's not white, she's Hispanic.
Right.
And so
And would
like
you yeah.
for me, I guess growing up, like there really wasn't a lot of female wrestlers like with Triple A Consejo. Like you had Fabi Apache and you had other ones, but like for me, I was mainly into it like the guys because guys were always dominant. And
Yeah,
so
no, that's true. The women
and now it's like, you know, from where it was before when I was little watching it to now, like it's been a huge step.
yeah, that could probably also be like WWE also kind of ramped up their women's division, I
Yeah.
feel. And they really pushed that hard, especially when like Ronda Rousey came on. But he was even growing up big before that. And what's your mat? How'd you decide like what mask to go with? Like how'd you decide you wanted to be a mask wrestler versus a luchadora that's just, those are
The
fake.
behind the mask, it's mainly I wanted to keep like my private life private. And like for some people, they're okay with being in the spotlight, sharing family. But for me, the reason why I decided to wear mask, I wanted to protect my son. I was like, I could promote, like I could talk about him, everything, but I since he's still little, I want to make you know, I want to let him make the decision when he wants to come and be involved with it. And so I was like, it's best if I keep my identity, you know, to me. So that way people aren't like, oh, like your mom this and this. And like, I wanted him to grow up normal.
Right. Yeah, no, I get that. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, because you do show your kid on your social media, so that's cool. I was wondering if you were a mom. Is it hard to make time to train? 'Cause I see you're training now with Booker T, right in school.
Yeah, Booker T School and with All Star.
And with All Star. So you're really putting in a lot of work.
Yes, I was like, I gotta train and improve and do so much if I want this to be long haul.
Trying to make a long haul. That's cool, man. Hey, Krizzle, you ever want to be a wrestler growing up?
No, not really. But in one of the reasons, likely two of the reasons that I wanted to talk to Spooky about was basically, you know, injuries and just how lucrative is this for you? I mean, let's start with injuries. I mean, because I've been watching, you know, a lot of these compilations of videos of like a lot of circuit, on the circuit wrestlers, regional stuff, and it's like it gets really intense, and people just throwing themselves off balconies and tables and chairs and all that stuff, and just, and I've never seen you exactly get in the act, but how has that been for you? I mean, you find it to be more intense just at being in the scene that you're in, and just like how much have you been affected physically by that?
Thankfully, nothing. I have not received any injuries. To each their own, but to me, I wouldn't want to jump from a balcony or anything like that. Oh, like I could get hurt. I could hurt the other person. We could both be out for a while. I was like, I'd rather avoid that and just do mainly like technique and like stick around the ring instead of doing high flying stuff.
Until just in terms of just what's safety, just how
Yeah.
do you go about building that type of trust with whoever you're with?
Mainly like in training, like for me, the ones that I go against, I train with them on a regular. And so for me, I'm easier to trust them. And so they're like, well, we could try this or you could jump. And I'm like, you know what? I trust you. I know more or less. I've trained it. I practiced it. I feel like we could do it. And it's all about a move is not going to come out if you don't trust yourself and if you don't trust your opponent. Because if not, if you don't feel 100% trusty of the one you're going against, it's not going to come out because you're going to hesitate to do the move. And that split second that you think about it, it throws off everything.
I mean, have there been times when some rogue shit happened where it was, just like you're with somebody and they're in the ring and they're like going off and doing some other things and you try to like rope them back in or just like just have you had issues like that?
No, not necessarily. There's some parts that it's like, we're supposed to be in the ring. Like, I get you want to involve the fans and all that, but to move, like, to tell them to move so you could throw them in the chairs and stuff like that. Some there's a time and a place for it, but like not through the whole match. Like, at least build the story. Like, start it off, get people behind it. If you don't put them behind it, you take it up a notch. Once they're behind you. That's good, but you go based off crowd.
And
What no, go ahead.
well, I'm just saying, getting back to the other thing I wanted to talk about was just like just as a wrestler, just I mean, just I'm just seeing how we don't have to discuss numbers or anything, but as a wrestler, are you in it more for the just like for just the love of the game or just there's actual you can actually make money doing this? Is this like because I've we've seen various stories about wrestlers and how they get screwed out of just getting paid for hurting themselves and just seeing how was that for you at this point?
For me, it's not necessarily about the pay. Like, I love what I do and I love interacting with the fans, the crowds. Like, the match could go good, but for me, it's me interacting with like the little girls or the little kids wanting to take pictures or like, they'll talk to me and be like, oh, like for there's a little girl that's one of my biggest fans. And like, her parents will tell me, like, before she goes to sleep, like, she'll watch a video of me wrestling to help her go to sleep. And I'm like, that makes me enjoy what I do. That makes me want to do it more. To be an example for little kids.
That's no doubt. That's cool. I know exactly what you're talking about too. Did you so when you rehearse this stuff, do you rehearse, not rehearse isn't a good word. Do you go through or train, or what's the right word for it when you prepare for a match? Because I've seen you wrestle where like the dude had like his foot in your face, and like you guys do like a lot of close, real violent stuff. So how does that like how do you minimize, like getting hurt in those situations? I'm thinking about a match you had against Is it Lil Poppy? Is that his name?
Yeah.
And that was like one of your, was that one of your earlier matches?
Yeah, it was my earlier matches will be with Inferno Tiger, Little Poppy, and Rey Monstruos.
Right, okay. And then you and how did those go for you, like on a personal level?
For me, they went good. As long as I came out safe, they came out safe. The crowds were, fans loved it. That's all. Like that's it for me. Like if the fans could come up to me, take a picture, be like, that was a good match. That means I did my job.
Right. Yeah, no, because it was hard to watch that match because it was when you see like a dude beating up on a lady like that, but there's a lot of how you say like matches like that have like a man
There's
versus a woman. How do you feel about that versus going against the guy versus going against a woman or even going against maybe an exotico? Like how do you kind of determine all that?
it's different things. Like if it's a female, it's a lot, it's a lot more fluent because technically they can hit me hard, I can hit them hard simply because we're both female, it's the same body. Whereas a man and a female, like it's kind of, you kind of have to be a little bit more careful. Because guys, they're a lot stronger. So, like, something that we do might not be so dominant and submissive, but if he does it, it's like, damn, like, he really fucked her up.
Yeah, so you gotta be careful.
Like, for exoticos, I've only gone against Fuerza Divina, and it's
Well,
technically,
she's big. She, I mean,
yeah.
she's a tall lady.
She is. I was like, so with her, like I kind of had to be a little bit more dominant, whether it be with like raquetazos or submissions. That's mainly what I do with her because she is a lot bigger than me.
And what do you think about that? Now that you mentioned it. What do you think, like as like a culture, Lucha Libre has like this component that like the exóticos are a big part of it, right? Like I feel like exóticos come, like when they come from out of Mexico, there's like a lot of excitement about them, and then they and I think Fuerza Divina might be one of the few exóticos that we have locally, maybe. I might be wrong, but let me know.
Locally, I think there's not a lot.
Right.
Can
But
I jump
why do you think that's?
in and just ask what is an exotico? Just
Oh, so you're
for the
about to know about
people
this,
who
right?
don't.
Because what Exotico is, Gael Garcia Bernal, he just I guess had a Sundance premiere of his film. That I'm gonna write about, Craig. Don't steal it. And so this happened to Sundance, but it came out and basically it was based off of a documentary about this. He's a gay wrestler named gosh, what was the name, Spooky? The most famous Exotico?
Like Gaviota, there's Pipinela, Maximo. I think the biggest one right now is Pipinela.
Okay. So that's like a bit. So okay, so Exotico is basically it's a like what how would you describe Exotico? Because I feel like it's just changed since what it used to be.
I think an Exotico is like they're male, but they perform as a female.
Right, because they could either be trans or they could be gay, or can they just be a straight guy who just likes to perform and drag kind of thing?
Actually are some that they're 100% straight, but for some reason they prefer to wrestle and drag.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so
And that's
that's
like a big.
basically what it is, drag wrestlers.
No, not all the way. A lot of it is it's gay,
Like
gay to
there's
queer people.
oh.
Well, okay, well, is it just if I'm just seeing, making sure, just like it's just basically, it could be a wrestler in the LGBTQ stuff, or it could be a wrestler who, I don't know, could be heterosexual but also dress as a woman. So,
Yeah.
okay, all right, well, just yeah, just but just basically the whole idea is just to be like a flamboyant. A performer, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a big
Yeah,
part of some of
that's
Exotico.
all. I just trying to figure it out. That's all I'm trying to just.
That's something I think is it fair to say that's more prevalent in Lucha Libre style wrestling as opposed to American wrestling? Because I know we still had like When I say we, it means like your average WWE watcher. There used to be guys like Goldust and I think like that kind of
Not as much as like Lucha.
okay.
But
Not
I
as much as Lucha.
and like I give them a lot of props to be in a character like that and to give it their all. I was like, I struggle by myself just to do my character. You're going above and beyond. Ooh, I give you mad props.
And it's like the audience likes that though, right? They like
Yeah.
it, and
They
even
like
though it's kind of like,
but they interact like they do the vessels, they sit on, you know, the hugging. And
yeah,
it kind of brings like a different flair to it.
right. Do you feel like it's like, I feel like it's like homophobic, but not in like a negative way, because people are having fun with it, even though it's still like, you know, like an exotico's like power move is like going to kiss somebody, you know, and it's just like, you know.
Or like their move is like they're gonna try to kiss you to get you into something else.
Yeah,
Like
right.
it's like them building up to do their spot, which is whether it be like a vessel or like something like that, they build up to it.
Right. It's very interesting. You know, when you look at it like from like, you know, cultural or anthropological form, but I mean, in all though, it's fun as hell. So I always like when exoticos come out, because I always have. There was one exotico that came out that wrestled. She wrestled with Fuerza Divina, and she was from someplace, I forget, but she came out looking like Liberace with the whole. Were you there that day?
I think she went against La Gaviota, or she
No.
partnered with La Gaviota.
Yes. And she came from Mexico, right? That was like a person. Yeah, so that I thought that was interesting. And there's also a lot more female wrestlers. Talk about, you know, your last few matches, because now you got like the belt, the title belt for the local, one of our local
Actually
promotions.
part of the Females Royal Rumble, which was like, I think 2 weeks ago, where it was me, Jarochita, Lluvia, Tiffany and Morgana.
Right. And these were all folks that came over here from Mexico, right? Like they took a plane over to, like, we're gonna go wrestle at this spot. And but were you the only local person?
Local wise, yes. Because Jarochita, Lluvia, Stephanie, Vancouver, I believe, and Tiffany all come from Consejo Mundial.
What some
And Morgana.
advice did they give you? Did they give you any? I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm just interested, like what you picked up.
And then just like Morgana, she just comes from Mexico. She's the daughter of Pirata Morgan.
Okay. Yeah, no, I saw her. She's been coming out here. What kind of advice did they give you? Did they talk to you at all about like making it in the business?
No.
Nah,
That's
no,
like,
like, hey, sis, you can do
nah, like,
this.
I guess for them, like where they do have like their name and like theirs, like I don't know, maybe I rubbed them the wrong way, but like I'm not gonna beg you to talk to me. Like after the match, I'm gonna go tell you thank you. You know, we both did a good job. We both kept it safe. Now, if you want to not talk to me and just like wave me off, that's fine. I was like, but I'm not gonna beg for you to give me your opinion what I could improve on.
Right, yeah, because I just figured that they've been around a while. Maybe I thought it worked like that in wrestling.
Sometimes,
What you think, Chris?
like sometimes it does, but like there's some people that, you know, it's all for them.
Yeah, no. Well, I would have offered some advice if I was a veteran luchadora there, for real. What do you think about that, Craig? Sounds like a little lack of mentoring in the Lucha Libre community.
Well, I'm just trying to see, just like I'm as a person, you say you've been doing it for a year. I mean, are you looking for advice? Do you mind when veterans do hit you up, you know, to tell you, you know, you can work on this or just that, or you find it that the veterans are kind of territorial with theirs? Not really looking out for the young kids. I'm just seeing where is that, how does that, where is that from your perspective?
Like for me, like I accept all criticism, whether it be good, bad. If I need to work on something, I'll accept it because like I'm not perfect. I'm still learning. And so if like there's been times where like after a match, like they'll be like, you know, you could have done this a little bit better. You need to work on this. The next week I'm in training, working on it, fixing it, trying to make sure like It's a lot better and I'm improving. And
I
like after this, like I'll try and be like, are you good? Like, was everything good? Like, are we, And they'll be like, it was just this thing, like work on this. And I'm like, okay, like that, I kind of dropped the ball on that. I'll work on it for next time.
I'll
But
just
like,
look, see, I was just looking to see, sorry, just look and see if there was an example of that that you could give us.
yeah, like there's times where I'll do a match with like Inferno, and he has years of doing this. And then after the match, once we're in the back, he'll give me like some pointers, like, oh, well, like next time, like you kind of hesitated, don't hesitate so much. Just like let it flow naturally. He'll like don't stop the momentum.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's what I thought, because I can see the difference. I mean, if you go there and you can kind of see the difference in the skill level, but I think it's always dope that they can find people, from Consejo Mundial or from AAA. Do they get people from AAA too?
They do. It just depends on like what AAA schedule and like for Consejos, they gotta go around their since they have contracts, they go around those.
Right, yeah, because I feel like they didn't used to let them do that. So what we're talking about, Craig, is Mexico has like two main leagues, which is AAA, and then another one is the CMLL. And they when promoters here in Houston bring folks from those leagues over here, it's always like a big, usually like a pretty big turnout. So you kind of are coming up with two different. Are both of the promotions that you work with, are they both located in the place where the matches happen?
All Star, no, they kind of run out of it's Texas All Star Wrestling. They kind of run out of Greens Point,
Okay.
and then there's in Texas City.
And Booker T's in Texas City, right? Okay. And is don't they do training though in that spot on the East End?
On Coliseo, the NOPWF does training there.
Right. So how come you didn't choose there?
I've gotten like they've asked me to go, but travel wise, like sometimes my sister has to work late at night, and it's oh, well, like All Stars right down the road, it's convenient. I was like, and for me, like I love going there because now that I'm more or less like with Lucha, I'm learning more American, and they've been helping me there a lot.
So what do you think? Will you have to make a choice at some point if you're going to be a lucha libre wrestler or like an American style? They call it American style. Is that technically correct? But which one would you think you would go for?
I would still pick both. Mine will be a combination of both.
Okay.
Because in like matches, the most recent match that I had with Rey, it was half American, half Lucha.
Right.
And that's like my style.
You kind of mix them both.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the other spot where you work out of. So are you originally from the North Side, or that's just so you're a North Side, Houston Chicana, and this
Yeah.
is and you're into so there's no other local wrestlers in the Lucha Libre scene who are women. I mean, so I know there's a lot of women re there's some women wrestlers in the area. I've spoken to a couple, for this kind of stuff, but I haven't really seen any. Are you like the only one?
From Coliseo, it was me and Fuerza Divina.
Right. Okay. And damn, really? So it's just the two of you.
Yeah.
That's not. I just assumed that there'd be more. But it's growing though. It's growing. So that's cool. And tell us about your mask. Can you just describe a little bit? Because I felt like that whole like the bandana style, like that's kind of new, because before it would be like a veil. Sometimes a woman would have like a veil. It would have like, so like your mask is like lucha libre mask with horns, and it's like pink, and it kind of cuts off after the eyes, and then it becomes like, how would you describe it?
So going into it, I knew I wanted to wear a mask. And so this part, it's like, this isn't, so when I first started training with Black Star, it was actually behind a guy named Danny. Danny Flores, and so I got the flower to incorporate him. And then the horns, well, it, whether it be in wrestling, outside of wrestling, I do have my own cuernos. Like, you come with me, you gonna get both horns, and you're not, I'm not gonna be your favorite person.
Oh, so it don't mean somebody was cheating on you.
No, like, it could be like family, like, they're very opinionated. And I'm like, look, you don't gotta like what I do. I don't like, gotta like what you do, but you're gonna respect my decision. You're gonna respect me. Now, if you don't, we're gonna have trouble.
Well, that's an interesting thing to get into. Just like, just as you say, you try to keep your personal life and your life as a wrestler separate. But just, I mean, like, are there family members that are just like, what the hell are you doing? Like, why are
Yeah,
you dressed up as a masked wrestler and everything?
like they don't get, for them it's like, why are you doing that to your body? Like, for what? Like, do something else. And I'm like, maybe for you don't like it, you're like, what the fuck? But for me, like, I love it. Like, I enjoy this, whether I'm getting beat up or I'm beating someone up. Like, I enjoy it. Like, it's pure adrenaline from like the minute my song hits to like the minute the match is over with. Like, in that moment, like, the world is just like, you know, it's me, the opponent, and we're just gonna have a good time.
You know, on your Instagram, I believe the first post you had on there from September of 22 is a picture of you that says, and in the caption, "Soy mas cabrona que bonita," which translated means "I'm more of a bitch than beautiful." And I mean, you find that just like, especially in this profession that you're in, that it's hard to be both a bitch and beautiful.
For some people, like, a lot of people, like, fan-wise, they go for girls for their looks.
Yeah.
And like, for me, I was like, I kind of want to break that. Like, if you're gonna come support me, I appreciate it, whether it be for my looks, but I mainly want it to be for like my skill. I want to be like, well, damn, like, she did that cool shit. Like, damn, maybe there's more to just her looks, you know. Maybe she could be like one of the guys that they do all of this. But for some people, they don't see girls as equal as guys. And that's something that I kind of want to break, because I'm like, girls could do anything a guy could do.
Well, I mean, you find that, well, just this, it might be just like another stupid question from a dude, but you find that just like it's kind of difficult for people to accept, to go past the looks and see that, they're not really in the mood to for a badass woman that could hold her own and just be able to kick a little ass when they need to. Do you see that that people might be turned off by that a little bit, and just like, how do you respond to that?
There's been a few that made comments about what I wear because I don't show enough skin. And I'm like, I mean, I'm gonna wear what I feel comfortable in, not what you would like.
Well, I don't. I mean, once again, I don't really know exactly what you got. And I know it probably won't be all like what like the WWE wrestlers wearing now is like all sequined, tops and shit like that. But you just like you have your gear. What kind of gear you usually wear out there on the squared circle?
My gear, it's this fabric with like a small little crop top, and I wear black tights with this same pattern down the side. So it's like your typical wrestling gear, but when guys are drunk, it's like, you're not showing enough. Like, you're a female, you're supposed to be showing your body. And I'm like, maybe it's because you're drunk, or maybe you just want to come see women show a lot of their body, but you're not going to get that from me.
So yeah, this I would think, especially in those like small those environments, they're not like major things. They're just there's like a bunch of guys there who just like from around the corner getting drunk as shit at an event such as that. I mean, yeah, you give us like some examples of how those guys you've had to deal with.
So after a match, a few months, like a month or two ago, I did a match and there was a guy, he wanted a picture. I was like, that's fine. But then after the fourth picture and him trying to buy me drinks and micheladas, I'm like, now it's getting uncomfortable. Now you're doing too much. Like if it's a picture, I'm all for pictures. But after four pictures and you trying to put your arm more towards my breast or more towards my butt, like that no longer is a picture.
It's basically sexual assault. A little, because that goes down that road. You have to say that shit. Like, hey, I could call the cops on your ass and
Yeah, and
just.
it's like they don't understand it because like they're drunk, and I'm like, even though you're drunk or not, like at least respect us.
Yeah. And where they get drunk on? Because, like, no offense, but like I've had. Cervezas before. It's just like it's all right. I'm just maybe yeah, maybe I'm just like not built for cervezas, but like the like what kind of alcohol they serve at these events?
It depends because sometimes they take their own or sometimes they already go
BYOB.
stream. Like there's some people that drink like cerveza, there's some that will take shots of like vodka, and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah,
Hey,
who?
those micheladas they serve, those have alcohol in them? Okay, I never got one. I need to get one. I always stick with the can of Coke. But yeah, the audience is really, it's interesting because like you mentioned, it's not like a bunch of rowdy drunk guys. It'll be like a few.
There's a few.
And they always do wait to the end when there's like women wrestling and then they kind of go to do autographs or something. And you always see them kind of walk up and put their
Yeah.
arms around. Yeah, I've seen that. But it's really like a family kind of, right? I mean, could you speak a little bit about that? It's really,
It's mainly like for the family, like
it's like a
for,
family vibe with like some edge to it.
yeah, like for me, like growing up when I was a fan into it. It would be our family time. Like we would all go, whether we would be like snacking or like we would go to eat beforehand or after or even eat during the show. Like it was just that 2 hours was just pure family. Like no phones, no nothing, and just enjoying the company, our family, and enjoying everything else.
When would you say you went to your first Lucha match?
My first,
Like,
it
how
was.
old were you?
I was 16 years old. It was June 8th of 2013, 2014.
And where'd you go?
It was actually at Lucha Empire. They actually did a show out on El Portal Disco.
Okay. And Lucha Empire, are they still around? Yeah, a lot of these promoters come and go like overnight, right? That was like a local promoter.
Yeah, and like
And
he
so,
would really good shows.
like importing talent, like bringing in talent from Mexico. Because basically how you have to do it, right? I mean, to because all the really good wrestlers are what like either El Paso or further
Yeah,
south.
I had to like pay for the transportation.
Yeah, no, that's what's up. And so you saw that, and then do you remember like was there like a moment where you, I mean, you already said that you kind of wanted to do it, but was there a moment when you saw this? Because right, it would have been all in Spanish, right? The whole event, and it probably would have been like mostly Latinos in the audience. Like, did that have some kind of cultural connection for you, or were you able to relate to that in any, in a bigger sense than some of the other wrestling that you were seeing?
It did, but it wasn't until I seen the Black Fear, which is Misterio Negro, Poder Nocturno, and Black Star, where it was like, they kind of did like Extrema, outside the ring, the walls and all that. And for me, it kind of like shifted it, and I was like, this is something I want to do.
What was it about what they were doing? Because they were doing like a triple tag team kind of thing.
There it's a trio, and for it's like La Juventud, La Experiencia, and La Fuerza. And so for me, seeing that, I was like, you know, and then like interacting with them, the three of them, it's like a close family. And I was like, you know, and for me, family is important for me. Just like whether it be like with Black Star, like Fuerza Divina, Inferno Tiger, Little Papi, Rey Monstruos, Black, like if they talk shit about him, I'm gonna, and if I'm there, I'm the person that's gonna be like, no, like what are you talking about? Like why is their name coming out of your mouth? And like that was them. Like the minute that they kind of interfered with like one, you know, they kind of gang up on one, the other two will come in, and I'm like, that's something different instead of like one on one.
In terms of what, just kind of outside of the ring or stuff like that was going in inside the ring.
Like inside the ring, like for Lucha, there's times where like, oh, the referee's not looking, let the other two people, and it'd be three attacking one. But like for them, it was, for me, I seen it differently. Like they're all standing up for their family. They're all protecting one another.
That's true. That plays a lot into it. I didn't realize how much kind of family plays into it. What can you tell me about Crab, the Crab family?
Like watching them, like it's a real close family. Like you have to be like their parents support them 100%, and it's, you don't really see that often because there's some families that won't support you, they won't really acknowledge it. But like to have them have their family support them and go to their matches and just cheer for them, it's something different.
Can we jump in? And once again, can I jump in? Who are the Crab family?
The crabs are you gotta check out my cover story from on Houston Press. So the crabs, it's just a family of Lucha Libre wrestlers who live out here, and they were putting on events at the same venue, and now they're doing separate venues. Would you go and wrestle for the crabs?
In terms of like just to make sure everything's good, I would, but I would still have to just run it like through Black Star first.
So there is all right, Craig, don't steal my story idea. I'm writing about this, all
I'm
right?
not stealing shit. Ask
Okay.
the question, man. Jesus.
All right, look, check it out. So inside Lucha Libre, there was a whole like there's like people don't get along, right? So there's like all these like fly-by-night promoters, but then there's like a couple guys who have been in the scene for like the last like 6, 7 years. And
Yeah.
so sometimes they work together, sometimes they break apart, and then they come together. And so it's kind of like this little dynamic that I think is so fucking interesting.
Don't
That's
really.
why I'm asking you about it.
Like, at first, like, when they're good, they're good. But then that small little thing, and it's like everyone's fighting for everyone.
Everyone, what do you mean? But there is like a split between them now, and then they're gonna get back together.
So like for us, there's kind of like, since they're kind of feuding with one another, it kind of puts a lot of the wrestlers on like who are we supposed to work with? Like if we work with them, like then they're gonna think like we're not loyal to them, like we don't support them. And if we work with them, they're gonna be like, you know, it kind of puts wrestlers in a hard spot.
Yeah, that's what I thought. There's because it's a super small community, right? There's
It
like
is.
the female wrestlers. There's probably like three guys who like how many like the dedicated luchadores are there in Houston, would you say? Is it like less than 10? Or
I don't
maybe
know.
more?
I don't, like the ones I personally train with are Inferno Tiger, Rey Monstruos, Little Papi. Like we're always training. And just like when I go to All Star, I have Fuerza there, I have Inferno Tiger. And it's like Papi's always training, whether it be with like Low Rider and Sebastian. Rey trains with them. So like I know for sure like that little group is always training, but everyone else, I know they train, I just don't know to what extent.
But I mean, altogether though, you say like in the scene, like if somebody was like going to put together a lucha show, would they have like 20 people to choose from, or would there be probably more like 10 people to choose from who like
Locally,
they didn't even get?
from
Say again?
like local wise, there's a lot of people to choose from.
Okay.
There's like more than 20.
One, okay. So there is a lot. Okay. No, that's cool. That's cool. Sorry, Craig. I get excited about the inside baseball stuff of the local lucha libre scene. And I'm just surprised that, like, it's there and it's beautiful and it's complex. And there's people like you who are like this is your dream. And I think it's so dope because yeah, you could be anywhere trying to do this.
Yeah.
Well, it just makes me want to ask about you as a brand. I mean, like I've known a lot of local wrestlers. You know, back when I used to live in North Carolina, there are wrestlers that they had the T-shirts, they had the merch and everything. And just like, you know, I mostly just know you at the moment from the Instagram that Camilo showed me. And just like how you've been doing this for a brief while, just how you th building your brand as a wrestler performer.
Brand wise, I do have like designs in mind, but I don't feel I'm not ready to like exactly share those designs because I want to make sure it's identical to what I want and it's the best quality for other people. Because I have masks in the making, semi-professional, like different colors, and then there's gonna be some for little kids. But I want to make sure like the quality is better than the quantity. Same thing for shirts. I have a design in the making that represents me and everything that I am, but the design is kind of taking a little bit longer than what it should have.
There was a t-shirt I saw. I think it was local wrestling. Local, right? Local, who runs the local wrestling? That's a bigger promotion that runs that one, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And they have there's actually a masked wrestler. Is it Sadika, something like that? Is she from out here? She's from Mexico too.
She's from Mexico, I believe.
Okay, because I saw they had a shirt that they made for her or that she made that was like a Virgen, a
Yeah.
Guadalupe. Like, I thought that was dope. And that was pretty dope. So I've seen her wrestle before at Coliseo. Does she come around often?
It just depends on like when they book her. That's
Who do you wrestle
basically
with the most?
who do I wrestle with the most?
Yeah, as far as women wrestlers.
Women, the only ones I've worked so far, it's Fuerza Divina.
Okay. All right. Cool. That was a good question about the merch, Craig. Yeah. The merch game, because everybody has t-shirts. Every luchador, right? Has like
A lot of them. It's just like for me, I kind of wanted it to keep it like Chicana. So I'm trying to find the right little homie doll to like incorporate my stuff in.
I got you. Hey, maybe you should work with homies with homie dolls. I know that lady. She lives in Cali. You know what I'm talking about, right? The homie dolls. They're like
Yeah, they look like, yeah.
they're like babies with like low rider
Yeah.
outfits on. Yeah, those are cool.
And there's a lady that she actually runs out of the international flea market that's lifestyles, and she
Oh
kind of has those dolls.
yeah. Do you know that lady? I've done stuff about her before too. Gosh, I can't remember her name. But Margarita, something like that. Is that her name? Margarita. Yeah, I've done stuff about her because every so often she brings up people from like
Blood
the
and blood.
movies. Yeah, Blood in, Blood Out. She'll bring in
Mi vida loca.
Mi Vida Loca, she'll bring them to do like autograph sessions and giveaways, and it's always a lot of people. And she sells like the Pendleton, she sells like the old school Chicano lowrider style stuff. Just speak a little bit about that, because growing up on the North Side, were you exposed to that culture, or were you exposed more to like hip hop kind of style? Like, how did you end up gravitating toward like that kind of like lowrider, old school Chicano kind of street style for what you do now?
Grow up with it. It was just when I got older, I was like, something's not right. Like, I'm not feeling like the whole, you know, how I was growing up. And I'm like, and then I started finding about the Chicano, like the lowriders and like those school music. And I was like, you know, I kind of deal more with that simply because I love listening like to oldies. Like the whole Richie Valens, the Temptations, like old school music, I prefer more than the newer generation. And so for me, I was like, I say I was born in the wrong decade. Because the simpler times, like the lowrider cars, the old school, like that excites me more than what this generation is.
Yeah, I've often observed, the Latino community, especially those in the low rider culture, that they are big fans of the oldies sound, and just like it is a thing. It's either that or Morrissey. I don't know. You, how big are you? With, are you a big Morrissey fan or just?
Now, mine is just their music was so much better back in the day. Like for me, it's kind of like hard to explain. Like it relaxes me, then it like it eases me, and it's like, you know, I can relax to it, I can enjoy it. Now it's like it's different. It's like about the twerking, the alcohol, and I'm like, no, I don't drink, I don't do drugs. Like it has nothing to do with me. I was like,
You're
and
talking
so
about
like.
listening to like, no, go ahead. Sorry.
And so, like, the old school music, like, for me, is like, it's my connection with, like, my grandma, my uncle, and it brings me closer to them.
Yeah. I believe the term is, trying not, don't want to make sure this is kosher, not problematic, with brown-eyed soul.
Yeah.
Which is just like, because yeah, I remember, long time ago, that Elvis Mitchell wrote this piece about, the brown-eyed soul music coming out of L.A. and among the the Latinos and Chicanos in California. So, and just like any particular, let's say if somebody wants to make a brown-eyed soul playlist, do you have any recommendations?
Right now, like the top song for like me, because my son listens to it 6 times a day, it's Richie Valens, whether it be like La Bamba, We Belong Together. Like for me, he's one of the he kind of like separates it, because if you watch the movie, it's like not a lot of people really enjoyed the because he did the intro of like La Bamba and like doing it in Spanish. And so, like, it kind of changed it a little bit.
And I'm just wondering, in any war or war-related works?
Like, just my theme song, the Lowrider.
Yeah, just slow right now. Okay, cool. We're just like, yeah, I've always enjoyed their stuff, but yeah. So,
Do you own any of those CDs, the oldies CDs? The ones
I
that
own,
Margarita
I
sells?
they're kind of like from my dad's. Like me, if I were to not have a radio, a phone, I'd be fine. Like he has a lot of old school CDs, whether it be like the best of the 60s, best of the 50s, Def Leppard, Journey. I'm like, I could live off of that. I could live off that.
It's like, yeah, that's some straight nostalgia. Is it so? Is your love for the old school Chicano culture, is that tied, like, how does that connect with you as far as your love for Lucha Libre goes? Like, is it really a way for you to, like, connect with like your parents and your grandparents' generation, like both of those kind of things, like those cultural things?
It incorporates like my culture and like trying to bring in more known, because like not a lot of wrestlers do like the whole Chicano Chicana, and so I kind of want to bring more of like the Chicano Chicana and the Latinos more to like a surface.
Do you think it represents kind of the Houston that you grew up in? Because I feel like
Yeah,
that Chicano vibe is coming back, or it's getting stronger, and you see
it's
more
a
like low riders cruising and events like that.
Yes.
So you're part of that wave. Because wait, so you had Low Rider, right? There's a wrestler named Low Rider,
Yes.
and he's kind of like the maybe the male part of what you do in a sense, right? And then Lil Poppy is more like Zoot Suit. He's like a Zoot
Yeah.
Suiter, right?
Yeah.
I've been peeping that. I see what you guys are doing. That's very cool. You know about the Zoot Suits, Craig?
Yes, I do. I know about the zoot suit culture.
That's one of her. Is Lil Poppy one of your rivals? That was just a real rough match. Like rough as in like he was kind of beating you up there. The one I saw. You had red hair back then.
I did.
Yeah. But that was cool. I was like, oh, she's like, she knows what she's doing. But yeah, so and you're the champion now? Are you the champion?
Oh.
I saw you with a belt though. Was that a belt for
That was promo getting ready for the match for the Royal Rumble.
Okay, and how'd that go? How long did you last on that one?
I lasted between 6 to 8 minutes.
Okay, all right. And it was how many wrestlers? And it was all female Rumble, right?
Was six of us.
There was six. Okay, yeah, that was a very interesting. Who does the graphics for those? Because they spend some good money on the graphics. Because every one of those luchas gets promoted with some pretty good stuff. Do you know who does the graphics for that stuff?
I'm not sure. I think
Yeah.
that's all
That's all what?
Black Star.
Yeah, because all those wrestling promos look the same anywhere you go, and like, I swear, from especially United States or Mexico, like they kind of do it all layout. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The way they do the wrestlers, kind of cut out their silhouettes and then they stack them on. Anyway, that's a good promo. But all right, we know you got things to do. You're sitting there in the car. Are you like on your lunch break or something?
No, I'm actually waiting for my sister.
Oh, okay. I love that you're just sitting in some parking lot somewhere with the Lucha Libre mask on,
Oh,
just
yeah.
talking to us. Do you ever
Yeah.
go shopping with that thing on?
Oh, no. I'm terrified of it getting torn or anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure one day when you get famous enough.
Yeah.
So what you got, Craig? Are you gonna close this out?
Yeah, but just working well, where can people see you perform, and where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram, which is under La Spooky, I believe 98, and then on Facebook, it's under Mar Gonzalez.
Uh,
All
it's,
right.
it's uh, yeah, Instagram. It's lot underscore
Spooky.
spooky underscore. So yeah, at lot underscore spooky underscore. And just like you got an upcoming, you got any upcoming shows, any matches? What's popping?
I'm doing a birthday party this Saturday, and I'm going against Fuerza Divina, so that should be a good one.
On
And where?
Sunday?
On Saturday, it's a private event, and so I'm going to do work Fuerza.
Okay. All right. Cool. Oh, so people just do like private. I'm gonna
Yeah,
rent
you
you for.
can.
That's what's up. Are you not wrestling this Sunday?
No,
Next
hopefully.
Sunday?
It just depends on how you
All right. Well, cool. Good luck.
Thank
And
you.
we'll see you soon.
Thank you for showing us the mask and the woman behind it. And I'll just have a good rest of the Thursday, because that's where we recorded this. But y'all have fun now.
You too.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.